Good morning. Can you all hear me? Is that right? Can you hear me? Blessings on you. Blessings on you. I'm just going to go and nab a Bible. So what I find amazing, Izzy, about the Bible, right? The Bible is a really hyperlinked document. It's like a hyperlinked document, and it talks to itself. So when you read the Bible, you find scripture relating to scripture. Apparently, someone's worked it out that there's 63,797 hyperlinkedness verses to verses in the gospel, in the Bible. 40 authors wrote the Bible over three continents, Africa, Asia, and Europe, in three different languages: Aramaic, Greek, and Hebrew, all telling the same narrative, the same story. This book, 66, this library of teachings, has a story from the beginning to the end of it that God wants to have a relationship with humanity. Even though we break it, we try to sabotage ourselves, we lie, we cheat, we pretend to live in a dream, we tend to live in a hyper-reality that's not true. God wants to come in and meet us in relationship. I could give this talk, the one I'm going to give, next April, the 20th, at Easter, because it's the same message. This is going to be the same message, whether I say it today or say it at Easter. This is the same message, but we're coming from different perspectives. Sue, you read out my verse, which I thought was beautiful. In Isaiah 9, it says, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." That's God's identity there on the page. He's talking about Jesus. He's talking about the Godhead. He's talking about everything that he puts into his Son to come and be on this planet for you. I found it quite remarkable that the King of the Jews is mentioned in two parts of Jesus' history, one at his birth and the other one at his death. And I think that's really significant. The one at his birth, we might hear this, you've heard of the Magi, you've heard of the kings that come to visit Jesus, and he's a boy at this point, so he's probably about 2 years old. Now, some scholars think that the Magi were a remnant from the Babylonians, were actually from Cyrus, the king, who's the Persians. The Persians came and conquered Babylonia, and then Cyrus, the king Cyrus, released the Jews to go and to rebuild their temple. Some of the Jews went back, and some of the Jews didn't. Now, they think that the Magi were probably Persian. Some of the theologians and scholars think they might have been Persian, because they were looking to the sky intently for a sign. They've probably heard of God, this God that created the universe, and they were told that you could see signs in the sky. So I don't think it was coincidence that they were pondering on the stars and saw this star that was in the right zone over Jerusalem. And they made it intentional to go and find this king of the Jews. So they went on a track. And where do you find a king? You find a king in a palace. So they go and speak to Herod, rotter that he was, and asked, "Where is the King of the Jews? We've seen his star in the sky." Herod, being an ungodly man, knew nothing about this. He speaks to the teachers and the Pharisees and said, "What is this these guys are talking about? His own people didn't even know But these guys, these magi, were looking intently for a sign. And they said, you will find, it says in Scripture, you will find in Bethlehem. And so they went to Bethlehem to find this child. And they found him. And they brought three gifts, gold, frankincense and myrrh. Gold is for a king, frankincense is for worship, and myrrh is for healing. And guess what the Magi did? They bowed down and worshipped him. They weren't even his own people, but they came and bowed down and they worshipped the child. That's quite an incredible thought process. The shepherds, bless them, had come probably 2 years earlier, seen angels, been absolutely wowed by the glory of God. These shepherds go in and become evangelists. They meet the baby in the manger and they go out and spread the news. So these shepherds become evangelists, which I love. And they go out and tell about the glory of God, and they come back and they praise God and the glory that they've seen. It's really interesting. Us as Christians, we like that name, being Christians, Christ-like. But here's the kicker for you. Jesus didn't say, go make Christians. He said, go make disciples. If you are comfortable with knowing about Jesus as your king, and you're just a Christian, because you know the principles of the kingdom of God, and you live by them, and you're kind, and you're graceful, and you're merciful, and you're loving, and you're forgiving, and you're generous, but you don't know him as your king. That's my challenge for you this morning. You may know Jesus as a person that you know who is holy and who is godly, but you don't know him as your king. I was speaking to someone who was in the forces, and he said, we're not all the same, you know. We have those who are in the army, and we go through intensive training. And then you've got the special forces. And they're on a different planet. These guys don't know how to lose. These guys always look for the outcome of being victorious. Where we would stop, they wouldn't. When they see a problem, when we see a problem, they see an opportunity. When they see actually we all could be defeated, they see we can be glory. We can have take some glory for this. Their mindset's completely different. And if you look at Jesus with his disciples, he is outrageous with them. He doesn't make Christians out of his disciples. He made disciples. He made followers of the way. He gave them impossible situations to overcome. When they were breaking feeding the 5,000, Jesus turned to his disciples and said, what are you going to feed them? And they go, we're supposed to spend 6 months' wages feeding 500 people. Jesus says, what you got? Got 5 loaves and 2 fish. Sounds about right. At what point does the fish multiply? I'm intrigued by that. Because you've got to take a fish, right, and you've got to break it, bung it in a basket. There's 12 baskets. So you've got five loaves, 2 fish, and you put them in the baskets. Well, at what point do they multiply? But I guarantee you, the disciples took them out and they saw the multiplication happen. An impossible situation, and they made Jesus their king. Have you made Jesus your king? Or is he just a baby in a manger? I find it interesting that in a couple of parts of the Gospels, they try to make him king by force, it says. It's so easy to make Jesus king when our life is really good. So easy. And I'm guilty as much as anyone else is at doing this. After they fed and had a beautiful food, I bet you that fish would have been the best fish you would have had. And I bet you that bread would have been the best bread you've had. Who's the baker? Because this bread's amazing. No soggy bottoms here, I'm sure. And it says, and they wanted to make him king by force. But Jesus, knowing that, he retreated into the mountains. See, we can make Jesus king when things go well. But Jesus isn't looking for a king that actually pleases you and tickles your heart. He wants you to go into the depths of, do you know me as your Lord and Savior? Do you know me as a king that can overcome? He gives them impossible tasks. He says, go and preach and bring the kingdom of God at hand. He says, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. So here's the starting place. You may think, Chris, come on, how can I start with this? How can I have this? How can I make this relevant to me? What you got? What you got? If you've got finances, then give. If you've got time, then serve. If you have the ability to comfort others, comfort others. If you've got the passion of joy, be joyful. If you've got all those attributes that you have in that, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Help young people have self-control. Help me have self-control. Do you know what I mean? But if you've got it, give it away. Why? Because he's your king, right? Merry Christmas. But the question is, where were you this time last year? Where were you this time last year? Take a snapshot. Karen, you're getting married. Where were you this time last year? We were just overcoming a heartache. Still on the journey. Where were you this time last year? How did you grow? How much have you grown this time last year? Where are you now than you were a year ago? What have you done with what you've been given? Have you multiplied it? Have you said, Lord, I'm giving you my life, and then you've done that, and your whole world has fallen apart? What have you done last year? I had a chat with Shania the other day, thinking, well, what a year you've had. She said, I have, haven't I? I've come to know Jesus. What have you done? And it's not to make you feel sad, it's to make you see. And my job is to encourage you. And I want to encourage you with the Holy Spirit. I want you to look at your life. Where have you come? And now look at your snapshot. Where do you want to be next year? Where do you want to be next year? What do you want to have on that journey with Jesus next year? Because you know what? He's leaning into you. He said, what you got? What you got? What can we work with? What can we see happen? We have seen things grow in this building. We have seen visitors after visitors after visitors come through the door. We've seen people becoming Christians. We have seen people grow spiritually in maturity. We've done the walk, and we're doing the walk of love and compassion and kindness with one another. And I am so grateful. And to see that is beautiful. And I believe we're going to be speaking next year about what we believe God is saying to us as a church. One of them is becoming a hospital church. We want to see what that looks like and what supernatural things are going to happen in this place. Not because we're anything special. It's because Jesus and God is everything. And the power of his name. Amen. Through the Holy Spirit. For his glory. And we want to prepare the church to know how we hold that lightly. Because we believe there's going to be an outpouring of God's power and glory in this place. I believe it's written in our history. But I believe it comes from a time such as ours where God says, I want everybody rising up. I believe that's why you've got leaders that you have. Because we're not all dancing and all seeing. We're not. Some of them have incredible dress sense, but you know, all that stuff. Does it make sense? But we're
not here today.
You know. I said to Jesus, what trousers shall I wear? And he said, wear the purple trousers. But I added the shoes. But it's that part of who we are. Yeah. But the thing is, I believe the leaders are the right leaders for you. Not because I serve, not because actually, because if he wants the whole body to rise up, There's space for all of us to rise up. And we love you fiercely. And we don't get it right all the time. Believe it, we don't. But we try our hardest to serve. And it's to serve is what we do. It's not just one. Exactly that. Exactly what it is. I need Mark and Linda. I need Simon and Anne. And my beautiful wife. Embarrassed you, honey. The next time Jesus, the King of the Jews, is used is at his crucifixion. Pilate says it. He says this. Pilate went back inside and summoned Jesus and asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus said, "Is this your own idea? Or has somebody else spoken to you about me?" Jesus could have said yes or no, but he didn't. He did the Jesus thing. He said, "Is this your own idea?" Where is Jesus in your heart? Are you here just because, or just because? Or are you serving a king? A king. King Jesus. He wanted Pilate. He unedged Pilate. His wife had the dream, said, to have nothing to do with this man. Pilate knew that they were envious of him. But Jesus wanted to let him get it. "I am the King of the Jews. For that reason, I was born." That's why it was over his birth and over his death. "I am the King of the Jews. I am the King of the chosen people. I am the King." When Jesus was on the cross, the criminal, not knowing anything probably about Jesus, apart from what he had heard, I don't think he would have followed Jesus around because he ended up as a criminal on the cross. One person is hurling insults at him, saying, "If you are the Messiah, get me down and get yourself down." The other criminal says, "Do you not understand? This man has done nothing wrong." And he says, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He's saying, "Jesus, you are a king. And you are here because you are a king." And it says, "Hail, King of the Jews." So, who is this king? My king was born a king. This is what the Bible says about my king. He is the King of the Jews. That makes him relational. He is the King of Israel. That makes him a national king. He is the King of righteousness. He is the King of the ages. He is the King of heaven. He is the King of glory. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. Now that's my king. I wonder, do you know him? David said, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the creation shows his handiwork. My king is the one whom no means or measure can defy his unlimited love. No far-seeing telescope can bring him into vision. No coastline barrier can hinder him from pouring out his blessing. He is enduringly strong. He's completely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's morally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful." Now that's my king. I wonder if you know him. Do you know him? He is God's son. He is the sinner's saviour. He is the centrepiece of civilization. He stands alone in himself. He is August. He is unique. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is supreme. He's preempting. He's the loftiest idea in all literature. He's the highest personality in all philosophy. He's the supreme problem in high criticism. He's the fundamental doctrine in proven theology. He's the carnational necessity in spiritual religion. Now that's my king. Do you know him? Do you know him? He's the miracle of the age. He is the supremacy of everything good that you choose to call. He is the only one able to supply all our needs simultaneously. He supplies strength to the weak. He's available for all those who are being tempted and trialed. He's sympathetic. He saves. He is strong. He guides. He heals the weak. He cleanses the leper. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He saves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He is diligent. And he beautifies the meek. That's my king. Do you know him? Do you know him? He is the key of knowledge. He is the spring of wisdom. He is the doorway of deliverance. He is the pathway of peace. He is the highway of righteousness. He is the highway of holiness. He is the gateway of glory. He is the master of the mighty. He is the captain of the conquerors. He is the head of the heroes. He is the leader of the legislators. He is the seer of the overcomers. He is the governor of governors. He is the prince of peace. He is the king of kings. He is the lord of lords. That's my king. Do you know him? Do you know him? His office is unmanifold. His promises are sure. His light is unmatchless. His goodness is unlimited. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. He reigns righteously. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. That's my king. Do you know him? If I could describe him, he's incredible, he's incomprehensible, he's invincible, he's irresistible. I wish I could describe him. He's my king. Do you know him? The highest heavens cannot contain him, let alone a man explain him. I can't get him out of my mind, I can't get him out of my hand, I can't outlive him, and I can't live without him. The Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they couldn't find a way to stop him. Pilate couldn't fault him. The witnesses couldn't testify and get an agreement about him. Herod couldn't kill him. The grave couldn't hold him. Death couldn't handle him. He is my king. Do you know him? He is always has been and always will be. He has no predecessor. He has no successor. There's no one before him and there'll be no one after him. He's unimpeachable and he's not going to resign. He's my king. He's my king. Do you know him? He is the King of glory, the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and lift them up, you ancient doors, and let the King of glory come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord mighty in battle. He is the King of glory. Father, we ask you to come in. We invite you into our story. Come into my house. But come in as king. Amen. I want to surrender every lofty thought, every addiction, every bad attitude, every human failure, and I submit it at your feet. Everything that rises its head against you, I lower it down. Why? Because you are my king. I lay down everything, Lord. This is a powerful prayer. My family. My job. my identity, my sexuality, my future, my worry, my fear, my weakness. I lay it all down at your feet because you are my king.
So when I was sat over there just now,
yeah.
Right, I had this really weird feeling, yeah, that I needed to come and talk to you about being a disciple.
Okay.
Any idea what that was?
Yeah, because there's one thing I missed out.
Okay.
So we all need running buddies. Okay. All of us need a running buddy. We need someone that we partner with. We need someone to help us. One of the greatest compliments you can give somebody is, can you help me? We live in a society that never asks for help. If you're affluent enough, you don't have to ask for help. You pay someone to help you. But when you ask somebody, can you help me? Can you help me? And so it's really important that you find someone to run with. And I think one of the things we can do this year is to ask somebody that we can run with. So we can be discipled. Because it works both ways, right? When everyone runs with me, when I hang out with Jonathan, yeah, it's not leader versus trustee. What it is brothers to brothers. I love Jonathan and Jonathan loves me. When I hang out with Paul, it's brothers to brothers. I love Paul and Paul loves me. When I hang out with Louis, it's brothers to brothers. It's that I love Louis and Louis loves me. All of those relationships are all different, but I all need them. So don't be isolated. Find a running buddy. Find someone that you connect with that you can pour out levels of your life to. Sometimes it's going to be a lot and you're going to need them to hold you up. And sometimes it's just to go down and have a laugh and enjoy joy and be mates. But my heart cries that you find a running buddy.
Don't go. I've got loads of questions. So, okay, thanks for that. Right, so running buddy, yeah, I can do that, I think. But also, like, I've been a church goer type person, Christian, I think you called it.
Yeah.
So what's the difference? Being this disciple person, yeah, how does that change how I interact with people?
It's called practicing your faith. If you don't practice your faith, you're just a Christian, someone who's given their life to Christ. And that's no small thing. I'm not saying it's no small thing, but a disciple is someone who follows the footprints of Jesus. Which means if there's not days when you have to have a miraculous outcome, your life isn't exciting enough. You know, that could be health, that could be asking for peace, that could be asking for victory, that could be stepping out in generosity, that could be stepping out in your time. If you are going through life and you are not being supernaturally challenged, and what I mean by that isn't like my level, whatever that looks like, it's about the level that makes you come out of your comfort zone. Me reading that out is huge, because I'm dyslexic, and Jesus said, I'd like you to read it out. I went, well, that's going to be interesting then, isn't it? Let's go on that journey together. I'd only made a couple of mistakes, but that's the journey, that's the life. I live my life as an example, and we should live our lives as an example. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, most of them. So when I first came up, I said about when I had that funny feeling.
Yeah.
What was that? Because that happens quite a lot on a Sunday. Or if I'm in my bedroom praying or something like that.
So the Holy Spirit is an utter genius. And what I mean by that is I've had the privilege of having a deeper relationship, probably with the Holy Spirit, than any other of the Godhead. And we'd leave that to one side. But what that means is that he actually gives me jokes. I actually laugh at his jokes. And what I mean by that,
the only one that does.
Yeah, well, yeah. So if you ever hear me laugh, it's because he said something funny to me, because I find it really funny. And that's the relationship. But that's taken time, and that's taken vulnerability. And this is the good thing about following of Jesus, being a disciple, is if you think you are broken, that's probably the best place you can be. Because he humbles the proud, but gives grace to the humble. He opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And what you're feeling is the presence of God. The presence of God can be, it sounds really strange, it can be a smell. You can smell something and it can give you an emotional reaction inside. What is that? It's not just a normal reaction. It's like a, that feels brilliant. Ever been outside where it's just rained? I like it when it hasn't rained for ages and I smell the rain. And I think, God, it smells amazing. And I feel like spiritually tingly. And it's a feeling, because God says that he uses every emotion. He says we live and breathe and have our being. But the Bible is full of different experiences. Eating, sleeping, walking, listening, breathing, seeing, touching. So don't be surprised that the Holy Spirit uses all those emotions.
Cool. So I was hearing from God then, basically.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. So thank you. Cheers, Chris. Cool. Sorry to jump that on you, but it was good. Thank you. If that's spoken to anybody, then either go and see someone, find a running buddy, speak to me or speak to Chris, and we can